Our next story is on a musical genre that always gets a bad rap, well, it seems to, and that's hip-hop. And so why do some people think it's the only genre worth listening to and others just think it's rhymes with rap, with a C in front of it? Well, I suspect that my next guest will be somebody who loves it, Brad Warrington, a.k.a. DJ Sticky Fingers, who's opened for some of the biggest names in hip-hop, including De La Soul, Guru Gangsta, Jurassic 5 and Blackalicious. And Brad, I'll call him Sticky, he's with us in our Wellington studio to talk hip-hop and specifically New Zealand hip-hop. Kia ora, Sticky.
Kia ora, how are you going?
I'm going really well. I enjoyed my conversation with Brian. I learned a lot about sport talking to Brian Waddle.
Oh yeah, and go Portugal tomorrow.
Are you with your Weet-Bix as well?
Yeah, I'll be like rustling the three kids in the morning, trying to sort them out as they all lose the plot. So while trying to like ingest some sort of football, I haven't really got into it. Maybe it's because New Zealand's not into it.
That's not true. Hey, do you have to get three children off to school in the morning?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Crazy.
But you had time to go to a hip-hop summit in Christchurch?
Yeah, went to the hip-hop summit and Christchurch, run by the City Council and the YCD, Youth Development Corporation, who do amazing work with the youth of Christchurch, including going to things like family group conferences with the police, offenders, and also victims. So, you know, they do great mahi, and they also saw an opportunity because, you know, it's all good going on about what's happening in society at the moment with young people doing crazy stuff. But you've got to come up with ideas how to like reach those kids, and hip hop is one of those genres that's perfect for that. You know, like it's a really good tool to use for at risk youth, particularly Māori and Pacifica here in New Zealand.
How do the two correlate? How do you use it?
Well, I think a lot of this behaviour that we're seeing at the moment, which is amplified by the media, is because a lot of kids don't feel any hope. They don't have anything they can grasp onto that speaks to them, if you know what I mean. Like, and it's good to see people who are older than them who have gone through their life with hip-hop being involved, which is myself and lots of other people who were at the summit, speaking about their experiences and the things that, you know, were holding them back in life, and how hip-hop helped them, not just with hip-hop, but just with life in general. I don't think I'd be working at RNZ if it wasn't for, you know, hip-hop putting me onto, like, giving me a purpose with DJing and giving me goals to set. And, you know, I'm a hands-on kind of guy that needs to do it to get it, if you know what I mean. So, like, yeah, and you know, I got denied from broadcasting school twice, and I kind of thought, well, I just want to get into radio, so I might as well go to student radio, and that's where it all kind of began for me with radio, using hip hop as the kind of like catapult for me. So, you know, going to the summit and showing young kids who might feel lost, who might not feel a sense of belonging anywhere, who might have problems at home, who might not fit in at school, show them that not only it's not just about rapping or DJing and that, but there's all sorts of things you can do in the industry, from, you know, management, you know, yeah, working in gigs, being a DJ, you know, being a sound engineer. There's so many different avenues you can go down, and using hip hop as that kind of tool to reach those hard to reach kids. You know, then when they see people who look like them too doing things such as Scribe, such as Lady Six, it gives them hope that, oh wow, they came from kind of a similar place that I did and they're succeeding in life and succeeding at what they've chosen. So yeah, I think there was a lot of kids there, you know, people like Severe, King Kapisi, they were all there sharing their experiences in the industry and the media as well, likewise with me. Yeah.
Wow, it sounded great. So just give me the difference between hip-hop and rap. I know what rap is, obviously, but is there a difference between the two?
In the famous words of KRS-One, who is a rapper from America, rap is something you do, hip-hop is something you live. So hip-hop is the whole encompassing everything that you do. Not even, like, the four elements of hip-hop, which is graffiti, breakdancing, DJing, and MCing. It's just...
Are there four elements of
it? Yeah, the four elements of hip-hop are DJing. They're the four, you know, like, they're like the foundation, and everything else is built off it.
A lot of people would be screaming at the radio when they hear the word graffiti.
Yeah, but, you know, graffiti has been around since the 1960s. A guy called Cornbread, he used to go around Philadelphia throwing up the cornbread, like tag all over the place, you know. And yeah, you're right, tagging is annoying. Don't get me wrong, but like that was before even hip hop was a thing, really. You know, there was another guy called Tucky 183 who put his name up all over New York City on subways and got, you know, basically he created graffiti. And then in the 70s, Cool Herc came from Jamaica. He plugged in his turntables down in the Bronx and, you know, put some funk records on, waited for the breakdown, looped the breakdown up, and there goes hip-hop beats. Then, of course, he was toasting, because that's what they do in Jamaica, over the top, you know, saying words and saying, hello, everyone, welcome to the show. Someone left their car lights on, you know, stuff like that, you know. This is called toasting. And then, of course, what goes hand in hand with music and people on the mic is dancing. So those are the four elements of hip hop. And it's basically born out of New York City, strongly influenced by obviously funk, jazz, and Jamaican music, being, you know, some of the pioneering DJs are of Jamaican descent. Obviously, Kool Herc, African Bambaataa. Yeah, he kind of brung up all these Grand Wizard Theodore, Grandmaster Flash for The Message. And then obviously in the 80s, it was all cats like LL Cool J, the Beastie Boys from Def Jam Records, which was, you know, Rick Rubin. It played a strong hand in a lot of that early kind of Beastie Boys, Def Jam music. Yeah, it's such an incredible, rich culture. And I was saying about the polarizing thing, I've got a little clip here, I won't play all of it, but it's basically just some news clips I found on the internet from the like late 80s, early 90s, when there was like mad racial tension and there's a real focus on gangster rap and how bad it was for society. So here's a little snippet of why I think maybe people are so polarized by hip hop. This is where I reckon it started in the late 80s.
Known as Snoop Doggy Dogg, and his new record album, Doggy Style, out today, will likely go right to the top of the charts. To millions of teenagers, most of them white, he's the poet laureate of gangster rap, the rap style of a ghetto world where everybody's got a gun, women are bitches, and shooting cops is fair game.
Gangster rap has become incredibly popular and profitable by selling lyrics about black-on-black violence to a young mainstream audience that wouldn't dream of going anywhere near a ghetto. Now that some of its stars stand accused of doing what they've been rapping about, life seems to be imitating art, so to speak.
The rappers argue that they're only painting word pictures about real life on the mean streets of America.
There's no difference in rappers. We all represent the consciousness of our people. But there are certain ways that we go about it.
Officer White, I'm going to start with you. Let me read some of the lyrics that you object to from one of Ice-T's songs. I've got my 12-gauge sawed off. I got my headlights turned off. I'm about to bust some shots off. I'm about to dust some cops off. And the chorus begins with, cop killer, it's better you than me. Do you really believe these lyrics could incite someone to kill?
When you have young people today, especially with the problems in our society, you have a young person that holds Ice-T up as a role model, they may take those lyrics literally and kill a police officer.
Ice-T's reflecting a real frustration in the black community, particularly among young blacks, with police officers. And I think that's the issue. The issue to me is not some song. The issue to me is, why is there this gap between police officers and young black teenagers on the other hand? And that's where I think we should put our energies in terms of trying to figure what's going on there.
But Officer White, the issue for you is the song, is it not?
The song is, that's the main issue.
Do you buy the argument that this is just a reflection of overall frustration within the black community?
I don't buy it 100%, but there is frustration.
Yeah, that's Officer White, of course, a white guy saying that, you know, there is no problem. But really, that was when Rodney King was, you know, viciously assaulted. And just by chance, he was filmed by a white guy in his house, seeing these cops, five police officers, obviously lay into him. And then those police officers got off. So, like, you know, in the context of what was happening in America at the time, you can understand why, like, you know, some of the content was the way it was. But saying that, while this was all happening, on the other hand, there was a whole bunch of jazzy hip-hop that was going down that just kind of flew under the radar. And I thought I'd play, I was going to come in with New Zealand stuff, but today I thought, man, it's really good to get, like, the yin and yang of what was happening in the US then. And jazzy hip-hop was more kind of a conscious rendition of what was going on. There wasn't so much in-your-face, like, you know, misogyny and all the other things I think people really hang on to when they hear the audible hip-hop lyrics. So I'm going to play this one here. Is by, it's called The Rebirth of Slick. This is Diggable Planets, cool like that. And this, yeah, basically there was a whole bunch of artists like A Tribe Called Quest and De La Soul, all doing this kind of like more accessible hip-hop, which kind of eventually crossed over into the mainstream with the likes of MC Hammer and that. But so before we run out of time, I better play this. This is the Diggable Planets with The Rebirth of Slick.
Straight out of our lids. Them, they got boo bodies, hard rock Brooklyn kids. Us, floor rush, when they DJ booming classics. You dig the crew on the fattest hip-hop record. He tucks the kinks and sinks into the sounds. She frequents deep, fatter joints called undergrounds. Our funk zooms like you hit the Mary Jane. They flock to booms, man, Boogie had to change. Who freaks the clips with mad amount percussion? Where kinky hair goes to unthought of dimensions? Why is it so fly? Cause hip-hop kept some drama. When Butterfly rocked the light blue suede boomers. What by the cut? We push it off the corner. How was the buzz entire hip-hop era? Was fresh in fact since they started saying Audi? Cause funk's made fat from right beneath my hood. The pooba of the styles like Miles and shit. Like 60s funky worms with waves and perms. Just sending junky rhythms right down your block. We beat to rap, what key beat to lock? But I'm cool like that, I'm cool like that. I'm cool like that, I'm cool like that. I'm cool like that, I'm cool like that.
That is very cool like that, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, that's they sampled Art Blakely and the Jazz Messengers, which are off Blue Note Records. And it's crazy, yeah, because that won a Grammy, that song, for best performance by a duo at the 36th Grammy Awards. You know, Diggable Planets, if you are into them, they're extremely kind of cool group to introduce someone. I was going to say to, you know, these are the kind of songs I'd introduce people to hip-hop with. Not in your face, not too full-on, more kind of party-orientated, feel-good music. And, yeah, I don't know, where did that get in New Zealand? I think that would have made maybe the top 50. Oh, it made number 8. Whoa, here in NZ back in the day in 92, 93. Keeping with Blue Note Records, I thought I should play this next one. You'll know this one. This is a classic, The Cantaloupe by Us3, which is a UK-based rap jazz group, the first actual rap jazz group that was signed by Blue Note and produced by, what's his name? It'll come to me in a second. But yeah, they basically just rip Herbie Hancock's song Cantaloupe Island, put a slapping breakbeat on it, and got Flip Fantasia to come in and spit some rhymes over top. So this one here, this went big. This was huge, this tune. It ended up New Zealand, it made number 16, which just surprised me. I thought it would have been higher than that. But yeah, it went, yeah, sold 500,000 copies, I think, in 94. So this is Us3 of Cantaloupe.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we have something special down here at Birdland this evening. A recording for Blue Note Records. Mm-hmm.
dance as we dip in the melodic sea. Rhythm keeps flowing and drips to MC. Sweet sugar pop, rocks and pop. You don't stop till the sweet beat drops. I shall improve as I stick and move. Vivid poems recited on top of the groove. Smooth, my, floating like a butterfly. No set of float, sung like a lullaby. Brace yourself as the beat hits ya. Dip, trip, flip, fantasia.
That's great too. Very smooth.
Yeah, no, nice. Nice to see someone goes, this is awful. Who listens to this rubbish? Oh, guilty as charged. Sorry about that. I'm just waiting for the news. Yeah, me too.
It's not quite rubbish.
No, heck no. The thing is about hip-hop is that it actually lends itself to all genres of music. It's the great recycler, you know.
When you read that out, that's a text. This is awful. Who listens to this rubbish?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just waiting for the news.
That's a text. So love it. It's not for everyone, right? But I think that, you know, people just like to focus on the niggy about things, you know, like
everything.
I know. I mean, like, I don't like country music, but I'm not going to sit here and run them down because it means something to someone, right? You know? And like,
great attitude.
I think that this next one's a classic. It's actually Susan Vega's, you know, her a cappella of this, what's it called? I'm forgetting what it's called. It's right in front of me. Tom's Diner. She did an a cappella version of this. And these guys in the UK, these two British producers called DNA, they decided that, oh, yeah, we're going to slap a breakbeat on here and this is going to be banging. And they got the Soul to Soul's Keep On Moving drum beat. And they couldn't stick her whole song into the sampler, so they had to splice it up and cut up all the vocals and lyrics and match it to the beat, which would have taken forever back in the day. And, yeah, I think she was a little bit hesitant because she did the song, you know, My Name is Luca, and then heaps of people did, like, pretty average covers of it. So she was real worried that DNA was going to mush it up and not do a good job and make her sound whack. But they actually were so hyped on it that they signed it. Her record label signed it and did a sharing deal with DNA. So these are the kind of beats you want to play to someone who's, you know, a little bit sceptical, like our Texer, who thinks it's awful.
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So this is basically folk music, hip-hop beat. It's hip-hop. It is. And it went to, like, It went nuts. It, like, sold 500,000 copies. It got to number 8 here. It went to number 1 in, oh, Greece, Germany, Switzerland, all the European countries. But, yeah, no, it's a cool beat. I love it. It's a cool a cappella, too. So here she is, Susan Vega with DNA, Tom's Diner.
The man to pour the coffee, and he fills it only halfway. And before I even argue, he is looking out the window at somebody coming in.
Yeah, so that is folk rap, I guess. And that little that was at the end of her a cappella. So they had to, like, going through to the very end and then looping that up. It would have been a real mission back in those early 90s. I thought I'd go out on a bit of Tribe Called Quest. These guys are kind of like the pinnacle of jazz, hip-hop. Fife Dawg, Q-Tip, Ali, Muhammad, and Jarobi White. Man, so many great albums, like from Low End Theory to Beats, Rhymes and Life, The Love Movement and Break Up. Oh, man, just so, like, their back catalogue is just crazy. Rest in peace, Fife Dawg. He died a few years ago. Yeah, so this here's award tour. Merry Christmas. I guess I won't be back until next year. That's if you get me back.
Thanks for tuning us, Sticky.
Kia ora.
All right.
Sublime. It's enjoyable to know you in the concubines. Niggas, take off your coats. Ladies, act like gems. Sit down, Indian styles, you recite these hymns. See, lyrically, I'm Mario Andretti on the Momo. Ludicrously speedy or infectious with the slow-mo. Heard me in the 80s, JB's on the promo. Am I never in the quest to get the paper on the caper? But now, let me take it to the queen side. I'm taking it to Brooklyn side. All the residential questions to invade the air. Hold up a second, son, cause we almost there. You could be a black man and lose all your soul. You could be white and blue, but don't prep the road. See, my shit is universal. If you got knowledge of Polo or Del myself, see, there's no one else who could drop it on the angle. Acute at that. So who that, do that, do that, that, that.
Come on.
Who that, do that, do that, that, that.
Yeah.
Who that, do that, do that, that, that. I'm bugging out, but let me get back, cause I'm wetting niggas. So run and tell the others, cause we are the brothers. I learned how to build mics in my workshop class. So give me the sword and let's not make it the last.